Today on Real Radio.
When the doctor says, you've got a lump here, you say, well, I understand that. Thank you, doctor. Do the best job, and I'll do everything you say. But Jesus has a lump here. Jesus has a lump here because I belong to Christ. My body's his. It's his temple. He's going to walk with me through this. So, doctor, before you get going, this is the God I serve.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Now, a few years back here on Real Radio, we brought you Pastor Jack's 1 Corinthians series, and if you heard it, you know there were some serious issues with that local congregation. Well, 2 Corinthians has an entirely different focus, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and spoke to the disciples, saying unto them, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And you think about that for a moment. This is right before his ascension, obviously. He was God of God. He had always had authority. But this time it was different. He was the resurrected Son of God. And he looked to his enthroned Father, which is in heaven. Why? As a model. Where's God when it hurts, my friend? He's enthroned in heaven. It says in verse 3 that he's the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. How much? All comfort. The word means that he's the originator of mercies and the originator of comforts. All comforts. Mark this down. This is exciting. This word, comfort, you'll see translated numerous times in the Bible, and so you should. There is the Greek word paraklesis, which means this, that we are comforted with a consolation or exhortation or entreated. God would console. Paraklesis. Then there's the Greek word parakaleo, which means this, to come near to me, to come near to the wounded one. God comes near, parakaleo, para, alongside, kaleo, to come and bring himself alongside. Listen to this. It means that he not only comes alongside, but he invokes, he invites, he desires, he entreats. Why is this important? Because the root word to these two words I just gave you, paraklesis and parakaleo, is this word parakletos. Why is that important? The word parakletos means to intercede, to be the comforter, to be the advocate, the one that consoles you in all of your difficulties. The word is pregnant with meaning, and it applies to all areas of our life, but it comes from one individual. Listen to this. John 14, verse 16. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. And in John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another, there you go, para, there you go, para alongside, parakletos, comforter. What will he do, this one? This one that is to be para alongside to comfort me, what will he do? He will console you. Listen, he will be the one who will say to you in your daily living and in your life's troubles, if you're listening, he's always speaking, you got to be listening. The situation is not for your destruction. He'll say, the situation is not what you think. This situation is not what you imagine. This situation, is completely manageable. I've got a plan. It's not an incident. It's not an accident what has befallen you. I have given you the parakletos. Watch this. John 14, keep reading with me if you would, that he may abide, he, personal pronoun, he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus said. I will come to you. right now, today, 2,000 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, not your emotions, Jesus Christ is near you believers at every moment. But emotionally, he's never more near to us. He can't get any nearer. But emotionally for us, the awakening comes to us that God is near us in our darkest, most challenging moments. Why? Because the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, not only walks with us every day, he's been with you and shall be in you. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit from the inside out will speak to us. I'm with you, Jack. Don't worry. I got a plan here. There's a reason for this. Don't panic in the midst of your situation. Don't panic. And how many Christians today panic? We panic. And it displays our lack of faith in God. It displays our ignorance of the Word of God. Do you worry? Do you panic? Do you fret? Are you filled with anxiety? Jesus is saying to you, listen to my word. And the Holy Spirit is saying, listen to my word. And the Spirit of God from the inside of you out brings to remembrance the things that you've ingested of the Word of God. He wants to lead you through all of your life's challenge. Where's God when it hurts? Second thing, look at verse 4. Where's God when it hurts? He's where the trouble is. He's where there's trouble. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our trouble or tribulations. It's the interchangeable word. The Greek's the same word. Tribulation, troubles. Same word. You got troubles? Anybody got troubles? A lot of people didn't raise their hand in here, so the rest of us are going home with you today. If you ain't got troubles, we're going with you. Troubles. You see, well, I didn't raise my hand because I didn't know what kind of trouble. All troubles. This is encouraging. I got to tell you. Man, I read this week. In fact, I got to tell you something. Studying for this message this morning, Lisa kept asking me at home, why are you so quiet? I'm just thinking. But why? What's up? I'm just thinking. I didn't want to get into it. I didn't want to talk about it. Why? Because, you know, it's kind of like a percolator. You know what a percolator is? It's just kind of sitting in there bubbling up from time to time. And it's heavy stuff for me. Because you know what? As a pastor here and having a pastoral staff, I hear about troubles that are far greater than my troubles. This person's leg fell off, this person's baby died, this. And then I look at my own life and I ain't got troubles. That's my conclusion. Well, I'm not a worthy saint compared to the rest. But the Bible says all troubles. Meaning this, all of us are made with a little bit different of constitution inside. And you may be going through a death or a sickness or a financial challenge, but somebody next to you may not be. And we have a tendency to judge issues by, boy, look at that one. And I must not be, maybe I'm not a Christian because I'm not going through the big stuff. No, listen, the word all troubles is all pressures, all sufferings, all anxieties of any type. So number one, in life, from start to finish, there's going to be tribulations and troubles. Understand this. Please change this way of thinking starting today. You may be physically blessed, but emotionally, your life is one horrific, burdensome battle. And it takes everything of the Word of God and your nearness to Jesus just to get you through each day. And I want to tell you, great shall be your reward in heaven. You may be surrounded by emotional and personal support and gladness, but you're suffering through the physical pain and hurt of a disease or an injury. Great shall be your reward in heaven. God determines these things for us. No accident, no incident ordained of God. And we need to remember that. Where is God when it hurts? He's where the trouble is. In every issue of life, he's there. Unlimited, abounding in comfort for the suffering. The magnitude of the comfort will be an exact correlation to the magnitude of suffering. Church, get that down. There's no escaping this. Now watch, my goal is to get into your heart what God put into my heart this week. It may take a couple services though, I think. The next thing is this. Look at the end of verse 4. Where's God when it hurts? The answer is, he's here where it hurts. He's here. He's in the place where there's trouble. He's enthroned in heaven. All that could be academic until I understand that God is right in the midst of our lives right now. If we are hurting, God is in the midst of our hurts. It says in verse 4 that we, Christians, may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble or any tribulation with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What an amazing statement that is, church. Listen. Why does the Christian suffer? Because, listen, the non-believers are suffering. Why does the Christian suffer? Because other Christians are suffering. Why does the Christian suffer? Because Jesus suffered. Watch. Why does the Christian go through so much in this life? Because God, listen, is working in you and me the reality, functionality of his living word that we may give God the glory. Amen. Watch, you might say, that's not good enough. Well, you need to take your heart to the woodshed of God and deal with that issue. Is there suffering in the world? Yes. We want to be exempt. Think of that. Emotionally, we want to be exempt. We all understand that. But that's not real. Do we then throw up our hands in defeat and then conclude that we must be victims with a fallen world like everybody else? Nope. Why not? Because as long as God's on the throne, he's in the midst of trouble, and if I have a hurt, he's right there with me, and he comforts me through the hurt. People are watching me, believer and non-believer, family and non-family. They're seeing how we handle it, and so they should. Number one, from the eyes of the non-believing world, well, let's see how big his God is now, huh? And the world with a cynical heart, and I don't judge them for that, they look and they say, well, everybody else has gotten sick or gotten cancer or got their nose knocked off in this company, and now it's your turn. You're the one that's been preaching to us. Let's see what you're made of now, big Christian. Now, they may not say it, or in this culture, they probably would say it, but let's say they don't say that. It's in their hearts. And God says, listen, Jack, here's what I'm going to do. Watch everybody. We'll expound more on this next week, detail. And I'm not saying bring somebody to grow this church. We don't need that. But if you know somebody in life who's hurting, they need to come next week. It's good news. Jack, I love you so much. Yes. Lord, you do love me enough, right? To keep me from hurt and pain. No, Jack, you know what? I appreciate what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. But you have no idea that your very desire or request is literally destruction to your spiritual heart, soul, and life. What, God? Are you kidding me? But can't you just make me thankful and I'll be happy and I'll give you all the praise and glory? And he says to me, that's great, and so you should normally anyway. Nice try, Jack. But the truth is, there are unbelievers in the world. And there are other Christians watching. There's new believers who, they don't know the power of my word and my ability to do something. And so like Job, only those who are comforted by Job's writings are those who are suffering. Nobody goes to the book of Job when you're having a great day. Who needs them? Right? And so, Jack, here's what's going to happen. Now, because I am God, I'm enthroned in heaven, I'm midst of trouble. It's where it's where you can find me. God says, find me, go to the trouble and you'll find me there. That I'll draw the nearest to you. And it's only there, Jack, in that sweet spot where you need to change the way you view suffering, Jack. You have been conditioned in your world to despise suffering while my apostles ran toward it. Why is it, Jack, when you open up the Bible and you see them being beaten for being Christians, that they run out of the courthouse in the book of Acts praising God because they were found worthy to be beaten for his name? Jack, don't you know there's a secret? You haven't got it yet. There's a secret, man. And it's my will to get this into your life. That there is a suffering that in it and through it can afford and purchase and allow only one thing. It's not earthly riches. It's not status. It's not influence. Jack, it is this, and are you happy with this? It is nothing more, nothing less than my sheer heart and character. You want to draw near to me, the road is suffering. When you suffer, and those who have are the only ones who can see me in that nearness where trouble is. Where you're hurting the most is where I will show you my robe pulled back a little more and the glory comes out. Moses, Jack, in his suffering, saw me on the mountaintop. Joshua, leading 3 million people, saw me in that place of fellowship and worship. David knew me in the midst of his fugitive plight in that dark and lonely place. Peter encountered me when there was a storm on the Galilee. You will never draw near to me when it is easy. You don't need me so much there. We are walking at times like that. I'm talking to you at times like that. I'm reminding you, thank me for the beautiful day at times like that. Jack, there's a dark day coming, and it's dark only because through the darkness, through the chagrin, through the perils, the greater the pearls, the greater the glory, the greater the outcome. There is no heaven without suffering. But I want it easy. You'll be in heaven. But in that day, you will have wished, oh, I would to God I could have been a greater witness for Jesus. How does that come? Suffering. People will hate you. People will be attacked. People might hurt you for the cause of Christ. Are you willing to be a Christian above all other things? Are you willing to sign up and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you? And then Jesus says to you, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And listen, in that moment when Paul the apostle, by the way, was in Corinth, we know this from another book, he was crying out to God. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Paul, be of good courage. I have many future believers in this town. I am with you. When did he call out? When he was in his darkest hour. Jonah called out from the belly of the great fish in his darkest hour. And church, I want to encourage you. 2 Corinthians is a letter of encouragement coming from the heart of an apostle who was absolutely maligned for knowing Jesus. Your suffering is a gateway to glory. And I'm asking God, forgive me, Lord, for my previous prayers in my life. I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, I trust your mercy and grace completely. That when I say, oh, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. Conform me to the image of his will. That in that prayer, I've already relinquished the rights. I've already relinquished the trademark and the copyright of my life. And I say, oh, God, I trust you enough. You're not an animal. You're not mean. You're not angry. I trust you to do in my life and no further than what is necessary for my life to bring you glory. I embrace the suffering. And today you may be suffering, and I want you to stop complaining about it. I say that lovingly. Stop griping about it. Ask God, God, in the midst of my suffering, no matter what it may be, all of our tribulations, all of our troubles, God, whatever it may be, I'm asking you right now to give me your heavenly perspective. Understand that I'm in trouble, and that's where you're at. And that you're in the midst of trouble, and that means you're in the midst of my life. So Jesus, in the trouble, make me more like you. And the Apostle Paul, in life, tasted so much of that glory of Christ that very few people knew. That when the believers were together, a prophet, Agabus, showed up and took Paul's belt that he would wear around his waist. He took it, wrapped himself up in a prophetic display, and said, "Whosoever belt this belongs to, this man shall go to Jerusalem and be arrested and bound and beaten and imprisoned." And everybody looked and they said, "Gosh, that looks a lot like Paul's belt." Somebody says, "I gave Paul that belt. That is Paul's belt." "Paul," they said in the book of Acts, "don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go." And Paul said, "What do you mean by all these tears? I am both ready now to go to Jerusalem and be bound and to be killed for Christ." And everybody goes, "Oh, don't go." And it says in the Bible, we'll read it next week, when he could not be persuaded, that means they kept it up. "Ooh, ooh, ooh, Paul, don't go." And they're whining. Paul said, "Put a sock in it. Don't you guys understand something? I belong to the Lord enthroned in heaven, and I go where he says go. And if he says, watch, if he says go to Jerusalem, do you understand if I get arrested, if I get a flat tire on the donkey, it's all of God. I'm invincible until God calls me home." And so he goes, and he gets all of those things. They all befall him. Not once does he complain. Not once is he griping. Not once does he file, you know, a grievance. That event winds up leading him to preach the gospel to the emperor of Rome, of the world. What is the secret? They know something we don't know. When you get beat for Jesus, you rejoice. If you're going to go to Jerusalem and get arrested and thrown in prison, it doesn't deter you. When the doctor says, "You've got a lump here," you say, "Well, understand that. Thank you, doctor. Do the best job, and I'll do everything you say. But Jesus has a lump here. Jesus has a lump here because I belong to Christ. My body's his. It's his temple. He's going to walk with me through this. So, doctor, before you get going, this is the God I serve. God will get you through. And if he gets you all the way through now, that means you'll be in heaven." He didn't fail. He never fails.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable," taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up Pastor Jack's series, The Parables of Jesus, and we'd like to remind you that it is still available on MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Now, I just thought it was a fascinating series, and I'm sure you did too. Well, you can hear that collection of lessons, The Parables of Jesus, again from the beginning, and as many times as you'd like for that matter, and they're yours on an MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Simply visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and you'll know just what to do. It's real easy. We really would like you to get your hands on this, The Parables of Jesus MP3 CD. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.